Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
And today we're going to journey to Jacksonville, Florida. We have our guest, Richard Cirello. Richard was a speech language pathologist from 1976 to 2016. Now he's an innkeeper at an historic bed and breakfast. Raised in New York City, born in Brooklyn, just like me. Raised in Queens, his education was Mercy College in Dobbs Ferry, New York, graduate school at Long Island University, CW Post College, internship at North Shore University Hospital, and a teaching hospital of Cornell University. He is living now in Jacksonville, Florida since 1976, currently living in a restored Victorian farmhouse built in 1878. Founder of the AIDS Memorial Project of Northeast Florida, an avid art collector, bon vivant, and all-around great guy. I think so, too, Richard. So welcome to the podcast. And yeah, join us and tell us, why Jacksonville? What made you think about Jacksonville as your place to move to and eventually retire to?
Thank you for asking, and good morning, everyone. I came here just to do 1 year of internship. That was almost 50 years ago. I came down here to do what we call a clinical fellowship year at a certified clinic. I left my boyfriend back in New York, assuring him I'd be back in a year. Hold on, you can wait. I'm sure you can. A year? Well, a year became two, and then two became five, and gradually I started liking this place. That boyfriend, of course, was replaced and supplanted by many others along the way. But I grew to like Jacksonville. You develop friends. And I had the option to move back to New York, to move in back with my family. That didn't seem to be a particular option I wanted. And after a little while, I thought, Jacksonville, a nice, pretty city. We've got beautiful beaches. But ultimately, the key was I had great friends. And when you have great friends, you can live anywhere.
That's so true. Community and making friends are really, to me, it's one of the most important things in choosing a place to live or retire. It gets even more important later on in life where you can have a really close relationship or friendship with someone that you can do for each other whatever you need to do. So it's really, really important.
Indeed.
So Richard, I understand that you're a legend in Jacksonville. Some people have called you a legend. Can you share with the audience your accomplishments, what they were with the LGBTQ community, as well as the entire city?
Oh, goodness gracious. You know, I'm much too modest for me to go on and on about myself. I do enjoy.
Go on.
I do enjoy others going on about me. I think that I came here from New York. And New York at that time in the mid-70s was already it had always been a dynamic gay community. It was really coming out of the Stonewall riots. There were numerous bars. There were incredible blooming of the new gay community. When I moved to Jacksonville, it was a rather provincial community, to say the least. It was governed by a religious and political relationship that was unholy. It was stifling the city and all of the citizens, quite honestly. And the gay community reflected that. And I, as a gay person, said, this is just not going to happen. I'm not going to be relegated to second-class citizen. I'll tell you this. The sheriff was interviewed soon after I arrived in Jacksonville. He was on radio, and he was talking about the gay problem in Jacksonville and said, we will grind their bones into the dirt in which they came. He said this. And I'm on the radio. I'm listening to him as I'm driving out to the beach that night. And I thought, who the hell is this guy? And how dare he speak about the gay community? And this was preceded by numerous police raids at private homes throughout the city, in gay communities, homes. I thought that is intolerable. It would never be allowed. I mean, even in the 70s.
Yeah.
So I started a party which lasted 40 years. It eventually developed into the White Party, but it was the Armed Forces Day Party, and I invited my friends. Well, the party grew to 500 friends at my house. I hired the police to be at my front door, at my front gate, at my house, but I defied any cop, any police officer to say, based on the fact that you're gay, you are second standard, you are less than. And this was my sense of defiance. If that makes me a legend, then I accept it willingly. But I would never allow myself or the gay community to be considered less than. As you read, I have started the AIDS Memorial here in Jacksonville. We lost about 7,000 people in our small area of the country over the years to AIDS-related diseases. Each time I have met with the city, Parks Department, Public Works, and City Council, I am upfront and straight out that I am a gay man working for an AIDS memorial. And I will tell you, the city has evolved tremendously over the last 45 years, to say the least. Never once have I ever had a side comment, a snide dismissal, a rolling of the eyes. They have always dealt with me on a straight professional level. I'm very, very pleased with that. So I think that if I'm, quote, a legend, it's because my friends and I have said, enough is enough. We will not be second-class citizens in this city.
Not only are you a legend, but you are my hero.
That is
such a great story. And thank you for doing those things for the community. It's people like you that keep this country going. And I do appreciate it so much. If I was there, I'd give you a hug right now.
I'll accept it virtually, and I do appreciate it.
Okay. So, Richard, tell us a little bit about the geography. Geographically speaking, where in Florida is Jacksonville located? And tell us a little bit about the beaches and how far the beaches are from the downtown area, so on and so forth, so we can get sort of a picture.
Okay, well, if you're driving south, as so many people do, from New York, New Jersey, Ohio, Canada, we're probably the first city you're going to enter as you enter into the state of Florida. It's in the very top of the state, the northeast corner. We're about 130 miles south of Savannah, about 130 miles, 150 miles north of Orlando. We're a couple of miles, maybe 30 miles north of St. Augustine. We're on the banks of the St. John's River. The original name of this city was called Cowford because it was at this location in the river, St. John's River, that the Spanish would ford their cows across the river. And that lasted up until the 1820s when the city was named after Andrew Jackson, Jacksonville. The city is downtown on the river. It's very picturesque. The river is at least 3 miles wide at its widest point here in the immediate city. The beaches are about 25 miles east of here, very easy to get to. They are beautiful. Unlike further South Florida, they are not especially built up. The administration of the beaches have insisted that there's a height restriction on any buildings that are at the beach. So there may be at the most maybe 5 stories. There may be a few that are 10 stories, but very, very few. So you still have a beautiful view of the beach. We have long expanses of the beach that are not developed. Those are the areas where a lot of gays will settle, enjoy the sun. They have wonderful beach parties there. I think the city is very beautiful. There are national parks all around us and national forests. It's a pretty city to live in. We have several historic districts, one in which I live in called Riverside. There's Murray Hill, Springfield, San Marco, and of course downtown.
Do the gays, do they tend to gravitate towards these historic districts, these wonderful sounding, beautiful districts that you have?
Thank you. Yes, they do. And we look a little bit like Savannah here in Riverside. Old trees, lots of Spanish moss, cobblestone streets, brick streets. It's very picturesque. And of course, at maybe 50 years ago, this neighborhood was pretty bad. It had been abandoned by many middle-class white families to the newer suburbs, homes with air conditioning, with heating, windows that close normally, and doors that don't shake when you walk across the room. Well, who lives in a marginalized community but marginalized people? Like gays and lesbians, LGBT. That's who came into this community as the others left. And this is where the nightclubs showed up. This is where parties were, all in the city center, Riverside, Avondale, Springfield, and Murray Hill. Well, the demographics of these communities have changed as the property values have increased. Young gays aren't able to afford some of these houses. They're now moving into other neighborhoods. But yes, these neighborhoods were gentrified, restored by the LGBT community, and they still have an LGBT identity. And I'll say this. I was part of the very first Pride parade, or not parade, but the very first Pride celebration we had in Jacksonville in 1978. There were only 300 of us who were in the park on that day. Today, our Pride celebration and our parade is the largest in the city's history. It goes on for miles. It brings in thousands and thousands of people from all the surrounding communities. And it's one of those moments that give you such, if you've been here long enough, you identify and say, golly, this city has really changed. We have seen
and grown
incredibly.
That's great. How many people you think show up at Pride now?
Oh goodness. I think maybe they may be 50,000 people.
Wow. That's incredible.
Line
300.
Right, from 300, and I think I'm one of the few surviving ones from back in 78. From that we have so many thousands and thousands of people lining the main streets here in Riverside. And I think that the celebration and in the park afterwards, I would say anywhere between 35 to 50,000 people.
Oh, that's incredible. That's great. And I know that I remember working on Wall Street. There was a time, maybe 10, 20 years ago, where the downtown, where the financial sector started moving into the downtown as well. And I know a lot of banking and brokerage firms and investment banking firms started moving into Jacksonville as well. I remember that some major banks did.
That's right. This city is not really a tourist destination as much as it is an economic destination. Banking, insurance are the biggest, the backbone of this community, whereas the rest of the state might be geared towards a rather fickle tourist industry. This one has a solid economic basis because it's industry, construction, shipbuilding, banking, and that sort of thing. Lumber. This is a city that is a economic backbone of Florida.
Yeah. And you don't get that many tourists because the beaches, you said, are 25 miles away, right?
Well, we do get tourists, but you know, when you consider that St. Augustine is 35 miles away, and that really is the oldest city in the United States,
yes.
You get a lot of tourists there. We get tourists to come through because the beaches are so pretty, and we have a historic districts, but we don't have the identity like Orlando does, or St. Augustine, or Miami, or that kind of thing.
What, Fort Lauderdale?
Fort Lauderdale. Well, those
cities, as a New Yorker would say.
In Fort Lauderdale. Yeah, those cities are truly, those are kind of international cities for international travel. Mm-hmm. Because it brings in a gay international travel. Well, there's a lot of ships that go out of Fort Lauderdale for cruises around the Caribbean. We have cruises that leave Jacksonville too. And in time, I think that we'll probably have gay cruises. But right now, we're happy that we have a very solid economic foundation that the city's built on.
That's great. That's great. Tell us about the weather, the climate. Is it subtropical?
It is subtropical. Perhaps with global warming, it may become more tropical. We do get winters, and on rare occasion, we have had snow. There are many houses in the area with fireplaces, and people get their wood and that kind of thing. We have seasons. It's not as distinct, perhaps, as a little further north that would have really dramatic seasonal changes. But we have leaves that change color and fall on the ground right next to the Spanish moss that's hanging from the trees. So, and chilly evenings and chilly nights. Yeah, it's a nice place in Florida to live if you want to at least have the semblance of seasonal changes.
Right. So it's not that hot all year long. You have some breaks. It's not like Southern Florida, South Florida, it's
sweater weather. Yeah, we have sweater weather and lots of heavy coats on occasion.
I like that. It's a good change. Do you still get the rain in the summer like South Florida does?
We have about 55 inches of rain during the year. That's a lot of rain.
A lot.
And 55, that's about the size of the height of a person, I think, in some cases. We do get a lot of rain. It becomes afternoon rain showers start around 3:30, and they last for about 20 minutes or half an hour. Usually, it's almost, you can check your watch on it on an afternoon shower. It cools the streets down. You see the steam coming off the ground. And then after that, the air is refreshed and you just go about your business. It's life in the South. It's the way it is.
Yep. Excellent. So is living in an LGBTQ community important to you? And did you choose to live in one or just happen to be part of the gentrification process?
That's a great question. My friends might say that I led the parade into this old neighborhood because I've been here such a long time and have restored a couple of houses. There were clearly a lot of gays here before me, and I have to give them all credit too. But I would not have lived anywhere else but this neighborhood. It is accepting. Even though we have Republicans and Democrats, anarchists and monarchists living all next to each other, everyone seems to get along very well. I think it may be a Southern sensitivity about let's not fight over things that we're not going to convince you to change your mind. We'll just avoid confrontations with politics. We'll just live peacefully. And that's really quite, I love this neighborhood. I have my neighbors are Republican and Democrat, and they're this, and I'm straight and gay. And everyone just says, let's just respect each other and just
live and let live.
Yeah, we'll relegate these political conversations to things other than cocktail parties on the back porch. We're not going to fight over these things. And quite honestly, that's what I like about this community and I like about Jacksonville. This is the only city in the state of Florida that went blue, not Fort Lauderdale or the county of Fort Lauderdale, Miami. They all, because of the high Hispanic population, they had other priorities. They were told other things. But Jacksonville has become a blue city, which is remarkable. We have a Republican mayor, but we have out gay men on the city council. And we have two that are running for city council now. And a very progressive, great friend of mine who happens to be straight. He couldn't be any more pro-gay, pro-LGBT rights than if he were gay himself. So we see tremendous demographic changes in our city council, in our elected officials in this part of the state.
Excellent.
I've chosen this part of this city. I've chosen this city because I just have grown to like it very much.
Yeah, I could definitely understand your position. So are there gay bars? Can you go to a gay bar? Oh, you said you were at one yesterday.
gay bar, gay wedding. We used to have more gay bars, just like Atlanta. When I go up to Atlanta, and Atlanta, of course, is about 350 miles north of us, and I have many friends up there, and I enjoyed my weekends to Atlanta or 350 miles south to Miami and Fort Lauderdale. But the bar scene, even nationally, globally, for LGBT have changed because of a general acceptance. You can go to any club now and see guys dancing with each other. And it's like a non-issue for a lot of younger people. But yeah. I really enjoy the for me, a gay bar is much like an African-American church. It is a location for communal coming together for a sense of community empowerment.
I agree.
We do have a few gay bars that are still gay bars in Jacksonville, but you know, most of the big ones have become everybody clubs. It just is more open to having everyone there. I kind of miss the fact that there are no big, just gay bar only bars, just because I enjoyed the making sure who the guy I'm looking at is going to respond in a positive way and not say something like, hey, who are you looking at? Why are you looking at me? That kind of thing. But
that's exactly right.
And then we share a linguistic bond with members of our own community when we're talking. We have the sense of our own sense of humor. This is something that gay bars have traditionally provided for our community. And the passing of that in this is a standard American city. There are fewer and fewer selectively specific gay and lesbian bars. And you lose a lot of that linguistic cultural connection when those have gone away.
I agree. I agree, Richard. There are certain places, states that do not even have any gay bars anymore. And I was like, why don't you have a gay bar? And they're like, well, we don't need one anymore because people come together and it's live and let live. And that's fine, but I still feel more comfortable being amongst other gay people. Like you said, if I'm going to look at somebody, I don't want them to be punching me in the face for looking at them. So in that respect, and just the camaraderie and the way it's just all set up culturally, I just enjoy being amongst the gays.
I believe there's a very good book. It's called The Rise and Fall of Gay Culture. And I'm not sure who wrote the book. It might have been written by Michelangelo Signorelli. I'm not positive, but the book is called The Rise and Fall of Gay Culture. Basically, they equate the gay culture with African-American culture. The ghettoization of gays was similar to the ghettoization of blacks. In those ghettoized communities, those neighborhoods that were predominantly gay or predominantly black, you had parallels in the sense that you had linguistics that were unique and specific to those communities. You also had heroes and heroines, and you had restaurants, and you had churches, and that kind of thing that catered to those distinct populations. Well, as with African-American communities now, really, all over, really, there's no, quote, ghettoization anymore. They have more in common, African-American youth has more in common with a white kid down the street, and they go hang out at the mall, and those differences are significantly different these days, or significantly diminished. Same thing in the gay community. We've lost a little bit of our culture, our heroes and our heroines and our linguistics because of the loss of that sense of community we once had when we were a tighter community. As I think we may have talked about, that you'll find gays and lesbians now all over the city, not just in this old neighborhood that I live in. They're everywhere. They're in the suburbs. They're in the affluent communities. They're in less than affluent communities. They're everywhere. I applaud that because now the neighbors next door will say, those gays and lesbians, they're pretty nice. They keep their lawns up. They take good care of a property. My property values have improved because they're here. On the flip side, we lose perhaps that political muscle that having a predominantly LGBT community would have manifested in city council or in a voting block.
Yeah.
But I think for the betterment, it's better culturally, I think better for us politically to be spread out all over the place.
Gotcha.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. So is it easy to make friends in Jacksonville, or is it the city kind of too big for that? Or what are your feelings? I know you're friends with some of our friends.
I think you make friends everywhere. It's what you bring. Jacksonville is a big city, and there are cliques and there are not cliques. There are people who hang out with each other because they have a common interest, and that's all very well and good. And then there are theater nerds and poetry nerds and tech nerds who enjoy their communal relationship. I like Jacksonville. I do have a lot of friends. I'm very blessed. And I've had some challenges in my life, both with the loss of my partner and in my own health issues that I've had, where friends really came up and stood by me and took care of me. So I would say that we're a great community. We have a great sense of, as I said, community. One of the things I've always said is that friendships are made at leisure. And Jacksonville is one of those cities that you have time to get to know somebody. So when you ask them how they are, you're sincere because you know them. In other cities, which are much more faster paced, you have no time really to get to know somebody beyond the superficial. We're not like that here. We get to know you and we want to get to know you.
It's kind of like New York. New York, it's like, how you doing? Okay, how are you?
That's right.
You know,
very, very fast. Here we have the leisure of time to get to know you.
Yep, that's good. It's a little bit more laid back too than a larger city.
Exactly.
So tell us about the local economy. What's it like as far as real estate prices? Are they very high? I know recently everywhere has increased in price, but can you give us examples of what real estate prices are or rentals in the area?
Well, that's a good question. All of, I think, everywhere, really, certainly in Florida. And in this now discovered part of Florida, North Florida has become a hot market for real estate. I'm getting texts and calls all the time wanting to buy my house cash, that kind of thing. I don't know who these people are, but they're offering me what they think is a good price, which I think is pennies on the dollar. I think in this neighborhood, the Riverside Avondale neighborhood, prices go for about $500 a square foot. Now, that's probably probably average. There are some houses on the river. Clearly, they would be considerably higher. And there are houses further inland that might be a little less. There are areas of Springfield, which is an older neighborhood too. It's very pretty. It's a lot like Savannah. The prices there have gone up tremendously. You could have bought a house there for $25,000 years ago. You needed a lot of renovation, but now they're commanding $500,000.
Wow.
Rents are also an issue that have gotten very, very expensive, roughly about $500 a square foot to rent. And if you have an apartment with two bedrooms or something like that, you're looking at a few thousand dollars to rent an apartment of two bedrooms and one bathroom. So I think it's a national issue. It's a national problem. More and more people are moving peripherally out to the outskirts of the city. But the market is very vibrant. It must be because all of my friends are now selling real estate.
There you go. Yeah. How about utilities? What's your electric bill like? I'm kind of curious because I remember, well, here in Phoenix, our electric bill is pretty high as well in the summer. It kind of evens out in the winter because we don't put on the air. But yeah, we do get high bills here. How about in Jacksonville?
Good question. I think that in an older home such as I have a 1878 farmhouse that I restored, my partner and I restored. It's three stories. It's about maybe 2,300 square feet. Because it's just so open and the windows are old and the doors are old, our electric bill in the middle of summer might be about $250 a month. They're about $200 to $300 a month. And that's set at maybe 78 degrees, something like that. On those very hot days in summer, it run up a little higher. So I think that for a house of maybe 2,000, 2,500 square feet, depending on the age of the house, the price could vary considerably depending on the windows that you have and the insulation, all of that sort of thing. So I would say for me, my electric bill is high, and I own another property which has 3,000 square feet, and that needs to be air conditioned. And so combined, my electric bill might be anywhere between $700 and $1,000 a month. But these are two old properties, two old buildings that I own. I would say that most people don't pay anywhere near that for a 2,000 square foot home.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I remember in Florida, I paid in the 200s, and it was a brand new house, I'm pretty sure. And now, yeah, in the winter, I mean, in the summer here in Phoenix, I pay close to $250, $300. Right. So, yep, it's all relative.
These houses have 12 to 15 foot ceilings. Yeah. As would have been required in the old days. In fact, it's interesting to note that your social status in the South depended on the height of your ceilings.
Really?
In the old days, yes. If you had a house with high ceilings, and that meant you had some resources, you had money. As the people became a little bit more energy efficient, conscious, the ceilings became much lower. But in the oldest of houses, and those with the most money, had the highest ceilings.
So they were size queens.
Accused of that.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting. So tell us about the arts and culture scene in Jacksonville. What could we expect, or what could our listeners expect if they come to the city? Theater, museums, what's going on there?
Well, we do have Broadway in the South. We have touring shows that come through from Broadway shows. We're always happy about that. And it's always very seasonal. Those come in the fall into the spring. We do have a wonderful symphony, world-class symphony, led by a gay man who was hired here. He came originally from Northern Ireland. And when he was interviewed, we were all surprised that the board of directors of the symphony, which is old guard, old Southern, would cared not at all about the fact that he was gay, and he had his husband with him and did not hide the fact that he was gay. And they hired him, and he has become the darling of the blue-haired set. We have a five-story Museum of Contemporary Art downtown, which is in coordination with the University of North Florida. They have the most exciting contemporary art that comes through, and they have a permanent exhibit too. We have the Kummer Museum, which is named after a patron of the arts of about 100 years ago, a lady by the name of Mrs. Kummer. And that has more traditional European, early American art pieces and sculpture. They have a beautiful Italian and English garden behind it that tiers down to the river. We have a place called Cork, corner of Roselle and King Street. It's a big art commune of about five warehouses where artists work and create the most beautiful pieces of art. As I've said to other people, this part of the country, the art is much more provocative because of the prevailing historical, religious, and Southern culture, which has been a bit dominating. So art has had to become confrontational, introspective, powerful, whereas art elsewhere in Florida is more, it's like pablum. It's made for tourist industry. Here, it's provocative. It really makes you think. I have a lot of art in my collection, and I can't say enough good things about some of these artists I know. Their work is on the edge, as it would be in any other part of the country, New York or San Francisco. These people are well-traveled, but all young and very talented. So I think you'd be really impressed to see the arts community in Jacksonville. It's got eyes to the future.
Sounds wonderful. Yeah, it really does. So I'm sure you get your arts and culture fix by living there. You don't feel like you're missing something like living in New York.
Oh, I won't say that it was always that way here. Under different administrations in our city, arts and theater and music were relegated to, if it wasn't church-based, as is, was this problem here, if it wasn't church, fundamentalist church-based, it was of no consequence. Well, those times are long gone. The city is a whole different demographics. Our symphony and our art scene are as good as or even better than many other cities I have traveled to.
I want to come visit now.
I have a place for you.
Thank you. Are you a foodie? Do you like food like I do? What's the restaurant scene like in Jacksonville? Is it international or?
Well, I'm glad you can only see my face and not the rest of me, because the rest of me would indicate that perhaps I might have eaten one too many croissants in my day. And I'll tell you that the best restaurants in Jacksonville are really are in the historic districts of Riverside, Avondale, Ortega, and downtown and Springfield. That's where the best restaurants. We have many chains, of course, beyond that. There are restaurants all over the place. There are plenty of restaurants. But the best ones are right here in the historic district. And I think that we are developing a reputation as being a foodie. In fact, I own a bed and breakfast, as I mentioned, a B&B. And inevitably, people are asking me, where can we go for dinner for something special? And they don't have to go far. Just a few blocks away, you'll find some wonderful French cuisine or some Italian cuisine or some really great American, Mexican, even soul food. We have all of it here. I don't think you'll leave Jacksonville without having a good meal.
Sounds delicious. There are 5-star restaurants, I'm sure.
I believe so. I think that we have several in the Avondale area, such as Biscotti's, Bluefish, and The Brick. These are clearly restaurants that are on a much higher tier. The prices may be a little higher than some people might feel comfortable, but the food never wavers. There's never been anything less than spot on. I'm there all the time, I should know. I eat there all the time.
Mouth is watering. Mm-hmm. Starting to drool like my dog. No. Is there a traffic issue in Jacksonville? I know a lot of cities in Florida. Me, when I was living in Tampa, in the Tampa area, that became a big problem because there's so much building going on. Is traffic an issue in Jacksonville? And is there any other mode of transportation other than cars?
Traffic can be a problem. It's not generally a problem. It makes the news if we have a significant backup on 95 or 10 going east and west, that would make the news. It flows fairly well during the course of a business day. We may have a little backup downtown, but downtown, it usually flows fairly well. It's not really a major concern, I think. There is a bus system. We don't have a trolley, although they've talked about putting trolley systems back in the streets of the historic district. I think that perhaps public transportation isn't as good as perhaps other cities I've been in, San Francisco, Philadelphia, New York. Those have a much finer public transportation system. And certainly the areas that are developing in the periphery of the city, outlying neighborhoods, are not being served adequately by public transportation. And a car is essential in Jacksonville. If you don't have a car, well, it's much more difficult because it is a spread out city. It is the largest city in the United States, land-wise.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's the largest city in the United States, land-wise. It's 75 miles wide. And so people out in the outskirts, it's a long ride coming in sometimes.
Yeah, I think Florida in general is lacking in transportation. I wish there was so much talk of creating a rail going from one side of the state to the other, but nothing materialized. I guess that the governor doesn't believe in transportation. But
well, I don't want to speak about what the governor believes in. And that's another thing. We all have we have all heard about our governor and he's certainly taken on the LGBT community, mostly the T community, as political fodder for his future campaigns, present campaigns. The one thing I would say is I see him as a transient. He'll be gone, We won't be. We're staying. And in fact, the more he says about us, the more militant we become about him. Right. And I think that we will not be relegated to second-class citizens at all. We'll never be that. He's gotten a lot of political gains by vilifying gays and trans and drag queens and that kind of thing. Maybe you've all heard about that around the country, around the world. He's really quite a buffoon.
It's a good word.
Yeah, he's a buffoon. But I would say that I have seen a stiffening of resistance against his comments to the point, not only just for the gay community, but to all of our friends who are progressive-minded, who see him as a fool and him using the gay community as a vehicle to the White House.
Yep. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Tell us about, what's the crime like in Jacksonville? Is it mainly petty theft, or tell us a little bit about that?
That's a good question. I think that in any community as big as this city is, you're going to have crime. And we do have a murder rate that's worrisome, to say the least. And that has its own demographic concerns. Crime is not as bad here as perhaps elsewhere. There's certainly burglaries, car break-ins, that kind of thing. I think statistically, given the size of our city, it probably would look high. But I have been a victim of crime, mostly burglary of my home. I think that Jacksonville probably could be a better city to live in if it had less violent crime. But that's a national problem, isn't it? That we see that
it sure every, is
shooting.
Every day, today, in fact, LA.
Yeah, I saw the news. And those things happen here, too, but much more rarely. And I don't want to chance fate by saying right. something like that. There's violence everywhere. It is a essentially safe city, I think. I've really not felt unsafe walking about downtown through the neighborhoods. It's a respectable city, generally. But there will be people who live on the periphery of society who are looking to hurt, and that's everywhere.
Yeah. But if I went out walking my dog at night, would I feel safe normally?
Well, it depends on how big your dog is.
Well, I have two. One's big, one's not.
No, I think you would be safe. I think that anywhere, and I've traveled extensively, you just have to be smart about you. And right. don't walk your dog with holding a handful of $10 bills in your left hand.
Right.
It's just...
Or flashing jewelry.
Exactly. Leave the tiara at home. Leave the diamond choker at home. You use the cheaper stuff if you have to go.
The cosmetic jewelry.
Exactly.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Yeah. Is there a big homeless population?
It's a funny thing about the homeless population. Because we are in Florida, we see a rise and fall of the homeless population with the weather in the rest of the country. And we would see, if it's very cold up north, we see an increase in transients here as they pass through to get to warmer places. We have homeless people in this community. We have them in the city. I know them because I see their faces. They are... have become rather familiar. But there's a high increase and a decrease depending on the conditions elsewhere. And Jacksonville, of course, is the first city to come through as you're coming into the state of Florida. You'll see, as I said, more people come when it's colder, weather is harsher, and it drops as the weather gets nicer up north. It's odd parallels like that. But generally not bad. It's not like San Francisco, where my friends in San Francisco would just have put up with so much homelessness. We don't have that. We do have some pockets of it downtown, but by and large, it's not nearly as bad.
But we all do, but okay. I could see that it's just nothing out of the ordinary for Jacksonville. Tell us about what's healthcare like. Do you have enough physicians to the population? Is there a long wait time to get to the doctor? what's the healthcare situation like?
That's a great question. I think that's Jacksonville's forte. We have quite a few fine hospitals. We have the Anderson Clinic Hospital for cancer. We have a Mayo Clinic, one of the few in the country. We're very happy to have a Mayo Clinic. We have, at least from where I'm sitting right now, within a walking distance, we have two really fine hospitals. I think, and certainly doctors are, I have many of them as friends. I think Jacksonville is a very good place if you're an aging person to live in because of the proximity of emergency rooms and hospital care. I've had two heart attacks and a stroke, and I was able to get to immediate care right away.
You're lucky. Yes, yes. I'm glad you're feeling better now.
Oh, I'm in better shape than I was before. But, you know, so the one hospital is just actually two blocks away. And then Baptist Hospital is downtown. Mayo Clinic is between downtown and the beaches. We have a number of other hospitals scattered around the city. I had a good friend in Tennessee, and he lived here in Jacksonville. But he insisted on moving to Tennessee. And I said, are you sure that's what I want to do? Yes, I'm going to live on the top of a mountain. I've got it all planned. I've got this beautiful house I'm going to build. I said, okay, that's very well and good. Well, while he was on the top of that mountain, he had a heart attack. And it would have been one that he would have been survived from. But by the time they got to him from Sevierville, where he was outside of Sevierville, by the time they got to him on the top of that mountain, he had long since died. Now, I had my heart attack. And 3 minutes later, the people came from up the hospital down the street. And I was fine. I was blessed. So I think that it's important as we get older to have proximity of good care and rehab, yeah, rehabilitation too.
Yep. I think that's one of the most important things to think about if you're going to move or retire to a different location. Where is that hospital? How long am I going to wait for an appointment? That also is a big issue in some places.
Exactly. So, these friends who all want to live in exotic, beautiful places, that's all very well and good. But people die from the simplest things.
Right.
People get sick and without the proximity of a quick doctor or a quick care or something like that, it doesn't end well.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So there's not a long wait for like a specialist?
I haven't had any problem with that, quite honestly. I mean, you know, a week or two, depending on something like that. Cardiologists.
That's pretty normal.
Neurologists. Yeah, it's standard. The medical community is really quite a large community in North Florida. In fact, I'll say this. My uncle lives on Long Island, and he lives in a very affluent community. He lives in Southampton. And he has more problems finding good care on Long Island in Southampton than he does when he's here in Florida. And in Jacksonville, he gets immediate care and superior care for cardiology, and he presently has kidney problems he needs dialysis. So when he's here in town, the care is much more immediate, much more readily achieved.
Sure. Southampton is so secluded. It's so rural. Where are you going to go? To the first hospital in Hampton Bays or in West Hampton Beach? Montauk, the first national hospital of Montauk? It's a big difference. So yeah, that's one of the top things on my list when I'm looking for a place or to move to or to live. Mm-hmm. Where is that healthcare located? Excellent. Okay, so how would you compare Jacksonville to South Florida, such as Fort Lauderdale and Wilton Manors, that type of scene? So it's kind of totally different. You would think you were probably in two different states.
Oh, I think that's pretty true. I mean, I love Fort Lauderdale. I love Wilton Manor. I love Oakland Park. Those are places to go and play and have fun. And my friends, and there have been many friends, have been up here and moved down there. And that's a great scene for them. This is a very different thing. It's kind of funny. Jacksonville reminds me of that TV show, Northern Exposure, where you had a New York City doctor go to a small Alaska town to service those people. And it was a quirky little town where everybody got along. I kind of feel that way here. It's a quirky little city where people just sort of get along. Now, Fort Lauderdale, now that's very different. The demographics are tremendously different. Yes. Wilton Manor has a higher percentage of affluent gays and lesbians that live down there. It's changed the demographics of that city. Their public schools are probably the best funded because of the per average income of the households there. That's an exception by any measure because of the demographics of affluence. It would be hard to compare Jacksonville with Fort Lauderdale, or at least Wilton Manor and Oakland Park and Lauderhill and all of those other city little communities down there. I love going down there and partying, but I'm always happy to come home to where I live here in North Florida.
Do you still visit and go play?
Yeah, thank you. I haven't been down there because of COVID for a while. That was a while. And now with my business, I've really been very busy up here. And I would like to get down there, but I liked having my friends come up here. Yeah, they like to get away. Quite honestly, they like to get away from down there. Sometimes it's like living in Manhattan. When my friends lived in Manhattan, they had a very myopic view of what the world was like. Everything was Manhattan. When they went out to New Jersey or Long Island, or where, it was like, oh my God.
Oh my God, this is great.
Yeah, like, oh, it's so different here. And you're all maybe 50 miles away, not even that far. It's the same thing here. When I have friends from Fort Lauderdale come, they love staying in old houses. They love walking down streets with old trees and Spanish moss. They love old stores and different Southern feel. And of course, it's the difference of it. I like going down there and spending a little time, but I always like coming home.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a place, it's a nice place to visit, for me at least. I mean, many, many people choose to live there, and that's great. For me personally, it's just a place to vacation and enjoy a couple of days or whatnot, and then come back to, I say, reality.
And I'll say this, that my friends who have been there have a hard time either making friends or finding romance because of the intensity of the environment. The people are all wanting to trade up. You're all good, but I'm going to try this one. And
right.
I'm not saying that Jacksonville is a city where you settle. Right. You know what I'm saying? But the intensity is far less. There's not that intense gay scene that
right.
makes it difficult to have relationships that last.
Right. Gotcha. I totally get it. All right. So what do you wish that were in Jacksonville that you don't have that you might have had elsewhere?
That's a great question. We've been talking about that. There is a loss, of course, of gay nightclubs, but I don't necessarily want to have a big nightclub like the old days that you went to Studio 54 or something on that order. I would like to see more places where you can have a cocktail and a lounge that's playing jazz. And this is the thing about Jacksonville. If any of your listeners are looking for business opportunities for the LGBT community, and they're just waiting for things like a jazz club, perhaps with wonderful, you know, an environment like that, that's sort of subterranean, nocturnal place that's kind of classy. And we don't have that very much. And I would love to have more of that, where you have nighttime alternatives, not just standing around a bar, let's say,
right. 'Cause
we're all over that. But other things where you can have maybe light meals, listening to jazz, listening to in a gay-ish, progressive-ish community. And that is something we miss. I'd like to see more of that.
You know what I kind of miss? That reminds me, and back in New York in the day, in like the 70s or 80s, remember when they had wine and cheese bars?
Oh, of course. Oh, yes.
That was a lot of fun.
Yes.
It was relaxing, comfortable. Yeah, I miss that.
One in Queens I used to go to back in the early 70s called the Metro. It was called the Metro. And I think it was...
I've been there.
I mean, cheese was wonderful. First place I ever had Gouda. And it was such a wonderful, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And that's hard.
No. And I miss, you know what? Let's do a revival. Let's have a revival.
You're talking my business, man. I like that.
Yep. Yep. I love it. I love it. So talking about your business, let's talk a little bit about your bed and breakfast. Tell us about it. What's it like? Where can we find it? Where can we find you on social media if we can?
Oh, gosh, you're going to make me a popular person.
Oh, yes, I am. Well, you're already a legend, so how much how much more popular could you get?
I may have to hire a staff after this. Well, I'll tell you, my B&B is called the 1910 General Store, and it is a general store, was a general store up until 1993. After 93, it became sort of a hippie commune, and that's kind of a dated term, but it became a communal home, let's say that. And it was muddled up. It was trashed. I bought it in 95 and started the renovation and restoration of it at that time. It's on Airbnb. So if you want to do the 1910 General Store, Jacksonville, Florida, you'll see all the pictures. It's Sleep Six. It's got two floors. We have six beds, four bedrooms. It's two bathrooms. It has a private garden in the back that looks more like Savannah or Charleston. Very old bricks, that kind of thing. It's this one room we're in now is about, I think, maybe 1,500 square feet, maybe perhaps, of open space. It's a very cool space. I've been in a number of hotels, B&Bs, and Airbnbs in my life. And I think we measure up. We're 5-star. We have almost 500 reviews. I think we've been in worse places in my life. I've stumbled a lot of places in the morning that have been far more tawdry than this place.
It sounds wonderful.
And
sounds
I live right across the street, so I'm always watching. I'm such a yenta when it comes to my business.
I love it. I love it, Richard. So are you on social media? Do you have like a website that they could look at?
The Airbnb is on Airbnb, is on 10 General Store on Airbnb. So that's how they can access it.
Gotcha. Okay.
And they can ask me through that.
All right. I hope our listening audience will take a look at that and pay you a visit.
Well, I'll have to extend an invitation to you too while I'm at it.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. So are there any cons? You've been living there in Jacksonville for many, many years. Would you say there are any cons to living there?
Oh, I think that there is everywhere, isn't there? Some of the, I would sound rather Pollyanna-ish if I were only to talk about the pluses. I think that the cons of living in Jacksonville would be, that's a very good question. I'm going to have to think for a second. Perhaps, let me ask my friend, what do you think, Robert? That's a very good, I'm asking my buddy right over here. He's really kind of perplexed. The cons of living.
The sprawl.
Sprawl, oh yes, okay. It is a big city, that's true. It is a very big city, and the sprawl is eating up our green belt. And that's never pretty. And when I moved here so long ago, the city was smaller, of course. The population was much smaller. We have about 1 million people living here now. And the outlying counties were smaller too, not much people there. Now the neighboring counties are just, the sprawl is just, it's becoming from Jacksonville all the way down to Daytona now, just continuous concrete. It's very sad to see that loss. Yeah. That's why instead of living there, I've chosen to live in the city core, which is never going to change. It's historic. It's a historic district. The trees are still as beautiful. The proximity to the river is just down the street. But I think, as my friend Robert, who's right over here, said, the sprawl is ugly and it brings in so much traffic.
I understand.
Yeah, so you will understand that in Phoenix for sure.
Oh, yeah. We have sprawl, like there's no comparison. There's, yeah, we have, it's just sprawls out more and more and more.
It's like Atlanta. When I would go up to Atlanta back in the mid 70s, Atlanta was great fun. And it wasn't nearly as much of a concrete spot on the map as it is today. And eating up, what, 10 counties in that part of Georgia? 10 counties? And Duval County is the city of Jacksonville, Duval County. But now we have Clay County, St. John's County, Nassau County are also part of the urban sprawl.
Nassau. Sounds familiar.
Yeah. Just not Nassau, not in Latin.
Right, Long Island.
And it's very charming up there. Nassau has a lovely community called Fernandina, and it has an old pirate tradition there. Fernandina Beach, it's very, and Amelia Island, very lovely. And that's about 50 miles away. When you come down, we're going to give you a tour.
Okay. That's a deal for sure. So, Richard, in wrapping up, what would you say to our listening audience if they're thinking about relocating to Jacksonville?
I think they would find it a nice place because we have an airport, an international airport. We have major highways in and out. It's a great city to come home to. It may not be the city you want to go to, like Paris or Rome, but even people in Paris and Rome don't necessarily want to live there because it's just intense. You know what I'm saying? So I think that Jacksonville is a great city to come home to, where you have a lot of friends around you. It has a cost of living is not particularly high. We don't have a state income tax. You can do very well here. You can get a lot of square footage for your dollar, if that's what you want. Or you can live on the river, or you can live on the beach. Beautiful. I think that it would be worth a visit to get a sample and see if it's something you might want to try for a long term. It's a nice city.
Great advice and great conversation. I really appreciate you being here. I kind of feel like I know you for a longer time than when we just met. I guess you have that effect on people. You're a legend. So the living legend.
I'm going to start asking what I'm a legend about. I'm going to see what is being talked about. Now Google myself.
That'd be great. Well, Richard, thank you so much for joining us today. It was very, very informative. Really appreciate it. And I'm sure our listening audience appreciates it as well. And it was very educational. And we hope to speak with you very shortly.
You're very kind. Thank you so much. On behalf of Jacksonville, what if I could speak for the gay community, we welcome you. It's a nice city. We have a large pride event that you love to come to. We have that in October. We do an awful lot of other community things from Luminaria in the historic district, art shows, concerts, and our river is beautiful. Our beaches are beautiful. So consider it. We'd love to have you.
Definitely will. Thank you, Richard. And we will talk to you soon.
Thank you. Stay well.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.